Welcome back to Real Insight, Keen Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 101, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. So for today's episode, I thought I'd do the sequel to Sin City. I forget offhand if I did an episode on the original one, but I do remember as a bit of a teaser, I guess, that I thought the first one was a lot better than the sequel, but the sequel was more or less in the same theme of the original, but I didn't think that they closed out they did the storylines as well as the first. So I'll jump right through it, not too much insight, just because of the way that the movie finished. It was kind of odd, so I'm not sure exactly what to think of it in general. So with that, I'll just jump right into the episode and we'll go from there. So to start it off, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, released in the United States on August 22nd, 2014, with the taglines, "There is no justice without sin." A brief summary of the movie is that some of Sin City's hard-boiled citizens cross paths with a few of its more reviled inhabitants. So, I guess it's one of those... The summary is pretty good. They do or a pretty good reflection of the movie, and the movie did do a pretty good job, I think, of intertwining the various storylines, but the build-up for the storylines and then the conclusion of those storylines didn't seem to do a whole... It didn't seem to be done very well. To me, it seemed like it was kind of rushed towards the end. They built it up really well, but then didn't finish it off really well. So I'm not sure if there's stuff that's in maybe deleted scenes or there were certain things that didn't make the cut, but I felt that the rounding out of the storylines didn't finish off too well. I'm only really reviewing this on the movie as its own thing rather than a comparison of the comics or the graphic novels, because I haven't read the graphic novels, so I'm not sure if there's stuff that they couldn't do or just that stuff that wasn't feasible. But in general, it seemed like there was stuff that could have been added to make the storyline seem more complete. So as always, I'll have a link to the IMDb profile or the IMDb and Wikipedia links or sites. Rotten Tomatoes got a critics review score of 45%, so I'll have a link to that as well, so not very well favored. I don't think it was that bad as to get a 45%, but I can see why it wasn't generally favored. I think the first one did really, really well, but in general, I mean, if following the trends of sequels, it is hard to do a follow-up, so we'll see. So basically, that's where, though, I think it fell into that trap of a sequel rather than being able to do better than the first. So to start off with only a few insights for this week, I think Marv had the drink that has no name. So we have the movie starting off with Marv not remembering where he is or what happened to him, but he got himself into a car accident and having killed somebody. I couldn't figure out who he had killed or what the situation was. I think it was the continuation of the storyline with the guys he beat up in the alleyway. So I'm not entirely sure what the purpose of that storyline was. It didn't seem to like it fit with anything else aside from him being the strong or one of the strong men in the movie. I mean, it seemed like he was playing it well, but it didn't seem like this storyline had any specific point in the movie overall, aside from the connection to his particular chapter in the graphic novels. But it reminded me of the Flash Gordon drink that has no name, because he, in Flash Gordon, if memory serves, the main character woke up and didn't remember how he basically remembered that he had died, but he doesn't know how he woke up. So kind of a similar scenario here, but more of a darker, grittier side of it. Next up, we actually meet the bodyguard of the Dame, and he's actually, early on we learn that he actually is one of the stronger men in the movie, but that's more of perception as far as his abilities. Marv gets the upper hand later because he knows the supposed strength and is able to move on. But basically the purpose of the Dame's bodyguard was to show that this is not Sparta, mainly in that He wanted to show that he actually does have the upper hand. He has his superiority. He is that strong. Which is probably one of those things where they could have, or it's to me seemed like a very good subtle throwback to 300, where he didn't put up much of a fight. I mean, since it is direct, I think they were both directed by Frank Miller. They're both graphic novels, that sort of actually, I'm not sure if 300 is a graphic novel, but in any case, having the same director, it seemed like a good throwback in that the character portrayed that messenger really well, in that he is stronger, but in the end did not turn out to be stronger in the scope of the individual movies. But to round out the insights for this week, I think Sin City roads are set up like a football field, because it seems like most of the car scenes that they have, they're either going in straight lines or they're going around a really long curve, like they're going around a mountain. Or actually, I think the one big long car scene that they had, he was going around a mountain range, but basically it seems like it could be just a big long oval, and basically they're just going in circles, and it might be a weird reflection of the circle of life, I guess, but I'm probably reading more into it than I want to. But to me, it's, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, I think the entire idea of this movie more so was the idea of circles of life, and that Sin City wants to do things their its own way, I guess, in the circle or the grand scheme of things. But basically that's really all the insight I had. I was, in this case, I had to kind of pull for straws, because while if I think of the storylines on their own, they actually made enough sense, but when I put them together, it just seemed like the connections were kind of thin. So maybe it does require me to read the graphic novels that they relate to get more information. So to summarize, and in a bit of a spoiler alert, this kind of a spoiler. I mean, I figure if you don't see it coming by about halfway through the movie, then I don't want to say you're not paying attention. But I mean, to me, it seemed like the whole purpose for the movie was the dame and not. And so basically, let me actually start it off with the summary, in that when your dame doesn't make it through to the end, maybe she isn't the dame that you're looking for, for that matter, thinking of. So basically, the dame, in this case Ava, doesn't actually make it through to the end of the movie. She gets killed off. And to me, it seems like that would, being that the movie title is A Dame to Kill For, she would have made it through the end, and her storyline would have been the tying factor for everybody. And I don't know, to me, I'm probably pulling straws because I haven't seen or read the graphic novels, but I would have figured that she would be the end person to be killed off, in that that Nancy storyline would have had her turn up, that her protector was actually killed off, not by the Rourkes, but by the dame, and she was actually pulling the strings all along. And to me, that actually kind of would have made a better storyline than the dame getting killed off, and the only connection through the movie was Marv. So to me, that's kind of where it fell apart, that because I actually honestly thought that the movie was over when Ava got killed off, but it turns out they actually still needed to resolve the Nancy storyline, and they actually did. But to me, it would have seemed like having Nancy's storyline finished before Ava's would have made for a better plot point, to say that doing some of her research around the Rourke household helped her find out that maybe Ava was the person pulling the strings and not the Rourke family. So to me, that's kind of where it threw it off, that the storylines didn't seem to have a thin connection, basically, is what I'm getting at, that there was nothing much that they really connected the dots with. So it was kind of thin and flimsy, and that's about it. So I give the movie a real score of a C. And as I mentioned, I mean, the only positive I could come out with for the movie was that they had good individual storylines. They were presented well. They were built up well. The acting was done really well. But in the end, the negatives came out to be the dame not being the end resolution to the movie. And the stories didn't fully build up to the solution. So the stories were ended, but they didn't really seem to have, they seemed to want to intertwine it, but they never really got connected. They ended up being a loose piece of string, or loose pieces of strings, and that's about it. So, to me, it seemed like they could have, I don't know, it seemed to me that it could have either been separate stories in the same universe, or tie the knot at the end to resolve the movie and finish it off that way. So, unless it's a really subtle way that I missed on having a sequel to Sin City in the future, but I had trouble seeing it, so I'm still working on that resolution myself, but we'll see. Maybe I'll get it in the future, or if you guys know more about it or want to provide your input to help me out as far as that goes, you can let me know. You can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com or leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. Or find me on Twitter at PatelN01 and let me know there as well. And of course, if you want to find more shows, and this show as well for that matter, on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.com. But that is really all for this particular episode, so thanks for tuning in, and until next time.